It is time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And so with that school bell, you can get your Bible that we are using as our school book. And we're going to be studying about the great man of the Bible named John Mark. This is the man that was the companion of Paul and of Barnabas and of Peter. And also the man that wrote the book of Mark. And we'll be studying about him as we proceed. Now, there is a devotional reading for this Sunday school lesson. And by the way, I'm coming to you, that our teacher here is E.A. Elam, who wrote a Sunday school lesson about John Mark for the Sunday of September the 9th, 1923. And in that Sunday school lesson, he has what he calls a devotional reading, and that is the 32nd Psalm. So if you have your Bible, turn to the 32nd Psalm and follow along with me as I begin to read that in just a moment. Now, while you're doing that, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, if you have your Bibles handy, open them up. Psalm chapter 32, or I should probably better say the 32nd Psalm. And I'll be reading from the American Standard Version of 1901. And here's the psalm. It has an inscription, a psalm of David Maskell. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom Jehovah imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones wasted away, through my groaning all the day long. For night and day thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture was changed as with the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity did I not hide. I said, I will confess my transgression unto Jehovah, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this let every one that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely when the great waters overflow, they shall not reach unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou wilt preserve me from trouble. Thou wilt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will counsel thee with mine eye upon thee. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which hath no understanding, whose trappings must be bit and bridle to hold them in, else they will not come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in Jehovah, loving kindness shall compass him about. Be glad in Jehovah, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Now with that, let's turn to our little Sunday school book and see what it says about John Mark. Beginning in Acts chapter 12, and verse 12, we read, And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Mark is first mentioned in this verse. His name was John, and his surname was Mark. His mother's name was Mary. His father's name is not known. His mother was a good woman who lived in Jerusalem, and in whose house many of the church were gathered together praying for Peter's deliverance from prison. We read about that in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 19. Let me read that to you now. It says in Acts chapter 12 and verse 1, Now about that time Herod the king put forth his hand to afflict certain of the church, And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. And those were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had taken him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to 4 quadrillions of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made earnestly of the church unto God for him. And when Herod was about to bring him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers bound with chains, and the guards before the door kept the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by, and a light shined in the cell, and he smote Peter on the side, and awoke him, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands, and the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals." And he did so. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed, and he knew not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate that leadeth to the city, which opened up to them of its own accord, and went out, and passed through 1 street, and straightway the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a truth, that the Lord hath sent forth his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Since Peter so well knew where to go, this may have been a meeting place of the disciples. Mark was a nephew or cousin of Barnabas. The authorized version say he was sister's son to Barnabas. And the revised version says the cousin of Barnabas, Colossians 4 in verse 10. He was Peter's son in the gospel, 1 Peter 5 in verse 13, which is language which would indicate that Peter is the one that taught and baptized John Mark. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 25, we read that Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministration, taking with them John, whose surname was Mark. Paul and Barnabas took Mark from Jerusalem with them on their return to the city at Antioch. They had gone from Antioch to Jerusalem carrying alms to the brethren in Judea. We read about that in Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. "Now in these days there came down prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great famine over all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius. And the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea, which also they did, sending it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Now there were prophets and teachers in the church at Antioch, and it seems that Mark became a part of this church. We read in Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, "Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrene, and Manaen, the foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." A prophet foretold future events and taught by inspiration. A teacher sometimes, but not always, taught by inspiration. A prophet was a teacher, but a teacher was not necessarily a prophet. The orders of miraculously gifted persons are given in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. It says, "God had set forth some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diverse kinds of tongues. The first and highest order was that of apostles, the next that of prophets, the third that of teachers, and so on, down to tongues. And these enumeration in the scriptures, the highest and the greatest is given first. Then among these prophets and teachers, Barnabas stood first, and Paul the least at this time. The 12 apostles had to be trained and developed before they went out as apostles, and so it had to be with Paul. He was called to be an apostle from his conversion, but he had to serve in lower position before he could enter into the highest. When he received the apostolic measure of the Spirit was not stated. We have learned where Barnabas was brought up, his generosity at Jerusalem, and his work of exhorting the church there up to this time. Simeon is mentioned. His is a Jewish name. He was called Niger, which means black, but this had no reference to his race or native country. Cyrene was on the north coast of Africa. Lucius may have been Paul's kinsman and fellow, mentioned in Romans chapter 16 and verse 21, and one of those of Cyrene who first preached the gospel to the Gentiles in Antioch, Acts 11 and verse 20. There's no mention of Manaen elsewhere. He was a Jew and foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch. That is, he was brought up with Herod, and probably his mother nursed them both. This was Herod Antipas, that Herod that had beheaded John the Baptist. There were 5 different prominent prophets and teachers in the church at Antioch, all capable of teaching. And when Paul and Barnabas left, there were still at least 3. Many churches now have not one competent teacher. But we read about how they ministered to the Lord. Now this is Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." This means that they served the Lord in teaching others, praying, singing, contributing, and were using the gifts bestowed upon them for the good of all, whether publicly or privately. While in this service, they fasted for some reason. There is no stated times for fasting. When Christians fast, they're not to be of a sad countenance and do not appear to men to fast. Yet they sometimes give themselves to fasting and prayer. Deep earnestness and intense interest cause people to fast. And sorrow and trouble, they lose their desire for food. The Corinthians should be so deeply concerned about their own spiritual progress and salvation of others that they will at times lose sight of their own physical wants and bodily pleasures and engage in continued prayer for the advancement of God's kingdom. And we read that Barnabas and Saul were sent. While they ministered to the Lord in fasting, the Holy Spirit said to them, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." This implies that they had heretofore been called to this work. It is nowhere stated when Barnabas was specifically called to this work, but his life shows that he was fitted for it, and the church at Jerusalem had sent him to exhort the Gentiles in Antioch. Paul received this call at the time of his conversion. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 16 we read, "But arise, stand on thy feet, for to this end have I appeared unto thee, to appoint thee a minister and a witness, both of things wherein thou hast seen me, and of those things wherein I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among all them that are sanctified by me." While Paul had never yet given himself specifically to the work of preaching to the Gentiles, he had preached unto them, as at Antioch. So separate me, Paul and Barnabas, means to separate them from the others and to send them to the work to which God had called them, and they did this as they were directed by the Holy Spirit.